Prepare for the unknown by studying how others in the past have coped with the unforeseeable and the unpredictable. General George S. Patton. Welcome to the Revisionist History Podcast, where we set the historical record straight, no matter who it might offend. I'm Paul, and today we're not going to be looking at a myth or anything about necessarily revisionist history, but a little bit about the repeating of history happening right before our eyes. As the war in Ukraine continues to rage on, Russian troops have encircled the capital city of Kyiv. The indiscriminate bombing of the city in preparation for the ground assault has intensified over the past few days, with some civilians able to escape the city while many more dig into fight. Some in the media have repeatedly stated that we have not seen a siege of a major European capital since World War II, when the Red Army captured Berlin in 1945. Those commentators are off by roughly 50 years. The last time we saw a major European capital besieged was actually from April 5, 1992 to February 29, 1996. The attackers were Bosnian Serbs from the self-proclaimed Republika Srpska, backed by Serbia, and the city was Sarajevo. That siege and the wider Balkan wars of the 1990s were overlooked by most in the West then and forgotten by even more today. But they both hold important lessons for the war in Ukraine, particularly the battle for control of Kyiv. To just briefly sum up a truly complex event, after the fall of communism in Yugoslavia in 1990, the country was broken up into six separate republics. Former Yugoslav president Slobodan Milosevic became the president of Serbia, but was not content with that. Seeing the newly independent republics as historically part of Greater Serbia, and rightfully his. Is any of this sounding tragically familiar? Among multiple wars that erupted in the Balkans as a result of his megalomania, the most tragic occurred in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where Milosevic and his allies attempted not just to reclaim the republic, but to eradicate the very culture and history of its people. Now, Vladimir Putin has repeatedly claimed that Ukraine is not a nation, but a part of Russia, a revision of history that he's peddled for years. He most often mentions Lenin and Stalin, quote, creating Ukraine, which isn't true at all, and occasionally goes all the way back to the 9th century and the Kievan Rus, the historical ancestors of everyone in Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia. By this logic, however, since their ancestors began in Kyiv, it would be just as valid for Ukraine to claim that Russia belongs to them. Further complicating matters, and largely overlooked by the media, this war has a religious aspect just as the Balkan Wars did. Following the Russian annexation of Crimea in 2014, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church sought approval to be recognized as its own national church, separate from the Russian Orthodox Church. In 2019, this was granted by Patriarch Bartholomew I, Patriarch of Constantinople, and first among equals of the heads of the Orthodox Church. Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill has refused to recognize a split, and being a longtime supporter, more accurately puppet, of Vladimir Putin, he has supported the Russian invasion. He is, not surprisingly, the only religious leader in the world to do so. Now you may be wondering what any of this has to do with the siege of Sarajevo 30 years ago, other than some historical similarities. Well, the issue isn't so much the similarities already discussed, troubling as they are, but whether we can expect even more catastrophic similarities going forward. Will Putin, as his madness worsens by the day, take a page from the Serb playbook and seek not just to conquer territory, but to wipe out as many of the cultural and historic sites of Ukraine as he can at the same time? This is something he had already begun inside Russia with the closure of the only Ukrainian language library in Moscow in 2018. One of the things that has made the Ukrainian resistance so formidable is that they're not only fighting for their land, but for their national identity, the very thing Putin hopes to erase from history. The more they resist, the more wanton his destruction becomes. In addition to the thousands of civilians senselessly killed, another great tragedy of the Siege of Sarajevo was the complete destruction of the Oriental Institute and the National and University Library of Bosnia and Herzegovina. There are already reports of the destruction of libraries in numerous towns in Ukraine, as well as the partial or total destruction of historic sites like 19th century churches in smaller towns, destruction of museums housing works by Ukrainian artists, and significant damage to the Holocaust Memorial in Kyiv. Some of this destruction is as random as the rest of Putin's bombing campaign, but given that throughout their history, Russia has sought to suppress Ukrainian language, literature, and culture, one has to wonder how much of the destruction is planned. At least as far back as Tsar Alexander I in 1804, there were prohibitions in place against using or teaching Ukrainian language in schools. When the invasion first began and Putin expected the Ukrainian people to capitulate within days, his plan may very well have been to spare sites like the 1,000-year-old St. Sophia Cathedral in Kyiv, partly because Putin perversely sees himself as a defender of Christianity. With his expected speedy victory stymied and Russian losses mounting, will he target this iconic site as well, spurred on by Patriarch Kirill's desire to erase any evidence of a Ukrainian church separate from Russia? Is his ludicrous claim of denazifying Ukraine, in fact, an attempt to actually Russify it? Is he content to leave Kyiv in ruins as Sarajevo was, and as he himself left Grozny during his 1999-2000 war in Chechnya? We're already seeing heroic efforts on the part of Ukrainians to preserve their history and culture by moving artwork, books, and other materials to safe locations, just as many did during the Siege of Sarajevo. The museum curators and librarians are waging their own defense against Putin's aggression in the midst of unfathomable suffering. It may seem that things like books, art, and church buildings are unimportant compared with the loss of life and displacement of millions of Ukrainian civilians. But these are some of the very things they're fighting so valiantly to preserve as they face down Russian tanks with nothing more than Molotov cocktails. That's our episode for today. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you're finding this podcast both informative and entertaining. If you'd like to help us keep episodes like this coming, please consider clicking on the Support This Podcast link in the show notes. It'll help us create more content and go a long way toward making this podcast completely ad-free. Thanks again.